This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Smokey Jennings Chevrolet is making it exciting and easy to buy a new car or truck with Chevy's Total Confidence pricing. No need to negotiate because all new 2012 Chevy vehicles have the low price tag on them. Plus, with Chevy's Love It or Return It guarantee, if you don't love it, you can return it. Going on now at Smokey Jennings Chevrolet in Palmyra. Tax, title, license, and dealer fees extra. Go to ChevyConfidence.com for full details and restrictions. Purchase a 2012 vehicle by September 4th. Not available with some other offers.
Operating a successful farm takes more than hard work and determination. It takes smart decision-making from every angle. That's why more farm families turn to Farm Credit each day for all their financial and crop insurance needs. Our 96 years of experience has helped us become more than the nation's leading ag lender. In addition to our specialized staff of ag professionals, we've also developed a unique range of financial products and services that you can use to help manage the financial side of your farming business. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farm families. When you demand success in every field, Farm Credit is the financial expert to turn to. For more information, call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment, Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
And first of all, in our farm news this morning, the overnight crude oil market, a dime higher at $88.60. The Brent crude, 16 cents higher at $103.58. The August gold contract, $13.90 higher at $1,590.10. The U.S. dollar index, 0.329 lower at 83.654. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, September wheat trading at 891 and a quarter, that's up 12 and a half. December wheat trading at 899 and a half, up 11 and a quarter. September corn now trading at 798, that is unchanged. Or excuse me, that is up 8, that's up 8 cents for September corn. December corn now trading at 788 and 3 quarter. That's up 10 and 3 quarter. August soybeans trading at 1667, up 17 and 3 quarter. September beans trading at 1611, that is up 15 and a half. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, September wheat closed at 878 and 3 quarter, down 34. December wheat trading at 888 and a quarter, down 30 and 3 quarter. March wheat trading at 885 and a quarter, down 24 and 3 quarter. September corn trading at 790, down 24. December corn trading at 778 and a quarter, down 7 and a quarter. March corn trading at 771 and a half, that's down a nickel. August soybeans yesterday trading at 1649 and a quarter, down 49 and a quarter. September beans trading at 1595 and a half, down 52 and a quarter. November beans trading at 1569 and a half, down 52 and 3 quarter. August soybean meal yesterday trading at 509.80, down 132. September meal trading at 492.30, down 160. October meal trading at 477.40, down 148. August soybean oil yesterday trading at 51.58, down 217. September oil trading at 51.77, down 219. October oil trading at 51.96, down 220. September oats yesterday trading at 362.5, down 18. December oats trading at 365.5, down 16 and 3 quarter. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with today's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices were sharply lower on Tuesday afternoon. Technical and fund selling at the Board of Trade helped to push prices lower. In Monday's crop progress report, the condition of the Illinois corn crop placed only 7% in the good category, with 27% fair and 66% very poor to poor. The state soybean crop placed 13% in the good to excellent range, with 38% fair and 49% in very poor to poor condition. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 10 to 25 cents at 784 to 795. Soybean bids traded 45 to 54 cents lower at 1662 to 1685. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted those shell corn bids down 7 to 25 cents at 792 to 827. Soybean bids 45 to 55 cents lower at 1671 to 1689. And wheat bids down 30 to 35 cents at 857 to 862. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 20 to 25 cents lower at $8 to $8.40. Soybean bids down 48 to 55 cents at $16.63 to $16.97. And the wheat bids 33 to 38 cents lower at $8.37 to $8.82. Illinois River Bars Leading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 33 to 39 cents weaker at $8 to $8.07. Soybeans dropped 52 to 54 cents at $17.04 to $17.09. And the wheat price is down 32 to 38 cents at $8.25 to $8.40. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 24 cents lower at $8.18 to $8.22. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 47 to 49 cents, with quotations at $17.16 to $17.19. Soft red winter wheat fell 34 cents at $8.43 to $8.44, and Milo down 36 cents at $6.79 to $6.80. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids range from $7.41 to $7.53. New crop soybean bids at $15.24 to $15.47. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $7.53 to $7.84, with new crop soybean bids at $15.44 to $15.62. In the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from $7.58 up to $7.88, and the new crop soybean bids at $15.50 to $15.70. That is our Country Grain for Tuesday, Country Grain Report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Here are the spot dairy prices from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. For butter yesterday, 162 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. For block cheese, 171 and 3/4 unchanged. For barrel cheese, 169 and a half unchanged. The spot price yesterday for Class 3 milk, $16.68. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for July, $8.23. For August, $7.76. Corn delivered to Scottville for July, $8.15. For August, $7.68. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for July, $16.78. For August, $15.79. Wheat delivered to Scottville for July, $8.20. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $8.23. Corn at Scottville, $8.15. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $16.78. Wheat at Scottville, $8.20. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra, by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Who else provides a partner in crop production like M&M Service Company? The fact is, with your M&M crop specialist working with you throughout the entire year, you have the unique advantage of combining quality seed with expert agronomic knowledge know-how. As a true business partner, you can rely on your M&M Service crop specialist to help you reduce risks, make smarter decisions, improve profits, and just make the whole business of farming easier. So, for a production partner that can bring solutions that work in your fields, get a hold of your M&M Service Company crop crop specialist today. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
The National Weather Service has issued a heat advisory. It is in effect until 7 o'clock Thursday evening. For today, sunny and hot, the high about 107 degrees with southwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low about 80. For tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower, the high in the mid-90s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy, low temperatures in the low 70s, highs in the low 90s. Right now at the Weather Center, light southeast winds, the barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 76 degrees under partly cloudy skies. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Hi, this is Danny Russell from Russell Furniture and Floor Covering in Staunton, Illinois. I'm having a summer clearance sale. I've got a lot of inventory and I need to get rid of it. I have sofas priced from $399. I have recliners priced from $299. I have 250 chairs, name brand chairs, Lazy Boy and Lane priced from $299. Bedroom sets, five-piece bedroom set, queen headboard, chest of drawers, dresser and mirror, and nightstand for $599. And 12 months interest-free financing. Come see us. We have the largest selection in Central Illinois.
Time now for part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you this morning by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. First of all, in our farm news today, little change in crop conditions around the state. Here's Brad Schwab of the Illinois Agricultural Statistics Service.
Statewide, there was little relief for drought-stricken Illinois as temperatures averaged 81.8 degrees. Which was a blistering 5.1 degrees above normal. Rainfall accumulations were also once again reported below normal at only 28 one-hundredths of an inch, which after doing the math came up 68 one-hundredths of an inch, short of normal for the 7-day period ending Sunday, July 22nd. There were a total of 6.7 days suitable for field work, and topsoil moisture supplies showed another decline to 80% very short, 19% short, and only 1% adequate. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile came in at 77% very short, 20% short, and 3% adequate. Growing degree day units since May 1 ended the week at 1,819, which was 197 units or 12% ahead of the historic average. Corn in the dough stage was reported at 38% compared to 12% 1 year ago and 16% for the 5-year average. 8% was reported in the dent stage, and this compares to 1% for the 5-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in the corn dent category was the southeastern district, reporting 30%. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated at 36% very poor, 30% poor, 27% fair, and only 7% as good. Soybean blooming advanced to 84% compared to 61% a year ago and 59% for the 5-year average. 40% of the crop was setting pods compared to 13% last year and 18% for the 5-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 13% good or excellent condition, down 4 more percentage points from last week. In other crops around the state, pastures were rated in mostly very poor condition. The third cutting of alfalfa was reported at 48%, and this can be compared to 11% last year and 12% for the 5-year average. The sorghum crop that has headed reached 46%, which compares to 24% 1 year ago and 27% for the 5-year average. 63% of the oats crop has been harvested compared to 45% 1 year ago and 35% for the 5-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Widespread drought conditions continue to reduce the United States corn and soybean yield potential. Yields are now expected to be well below trend value so that this year's production will qualify as short crops. Todd Gleason has more on what that means as it is related to the expected price of corn and soybeans over time.
It's widely anticipated corn and soybean prices will reach a peak early, sometime in a relatively wide window around harvest, and then decline as the marketing year progresses. This anticipated pattern is generally described by the adage that short crops have long tails. The logic of this expected price pattern is based on three tenets. First, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good, Prices need to move sharply higher in a relatively short time frame so that consumption becomes unprofitable to some end users and the overall pace of consumption is reduced to be in line with the expected supplies. Second, a short crop is expected to be followed by a much larger production in the following year as weather conditions return to normal and producers respond to the incentives of higher prices. And finally, third, once prices peak and start to move lower, an extended period of declining prices is required in order to rebuild the pace of consumption to the level of subsequent production, says Good.
For corn, there have been 10 years since 1970 in which the crop could be classified as short. The price pattern in those years generally followed the expected pattern, but with some expectations. In particular, the timing of the price peak varied considerably in those years. The price peaked early in six of those years, but ranged in timing from June to November. In addition, the price peak occurred in January 1 year, in July following harvest 1 year, and in 2 years had a double peak, one in August and then again later in the marketing year.
Now for soybeans, eight previous years might be described as short crop years, thanks Good. Like corn, the timing of the price peak varied in those years. Prices peaked early, ranging from June to November in 5 years, had a double peak in 1993 and 4, July before harvest and June after harvest, peaked in April following the 76 harvest, and peaked in March following the 2003 harvest.
At this juncture, it appears that the 2012 season will be a classic short crop year with prices following that typical short crop price pattern, at least in terms of the timing of the price peak. Based on historical patterns, however, the timing of the price peak could range from now until harvest. With an early harvest, a price peak might be expected by September, assuming those prices go high enough to sufficiently slow the pace of consumption. Prices are probably not yet sufficiently high for either crop to accomplish that objective. For both corn and soybeans, there is considerable risk that the yield will be lower than now anticipated.
For soybeans, demand is also very strong due to the shortfall in the 2012 South American crop and ongoing large purchases of U.S. soybeans by China. For producers with substantial quantities of the 2012 corn and soybeans to sell, the window for the best price opportunities may be open for a while, but it's not possible to predict the timing and magnitude of the price peak. A strategy of spreading sales over the next several weeks may be prudent, says Darrell Good. For producers with little or no crop to sell, the major focus may be on maximizing crop insurance payments. For those with insurance products that include a harvest or October price guarantee, there may be concern that the price peak will come and go before October. In that case, some are considering hedging the insurance payment on their production shortfall by selling futures contracts at prices higher than expected to exist in October. There are obvious risks, of course, with this strategy, since prices above the selling price would result in margin payments and foregone income. Those considering hedging insurance payments may also want to consider an averaging strategy and/or the use of options to manage the risk, he says. I'm Todd Gleason.
Coming up on 28 minutes after the hour of 6 on this Wednesday morning, on Tuesday, Springfield Plastics held a field day demonstration of field tiling techniques. One of the presenters was Leonard Benstock of Agricultural Drainage Management Coalition of Hot Springs, Arkansas, and he described his presentation.
What we're doing here is we're doing what we call as a saturated buffer. We're taking an existing grass buffer, and we're trying to make it better, more productive as far as environmentally treating the water that's coming out of agricultural row crop fields. That's nutrient-laden water is really what it is. It's just the naturally occurring things that are going on out there. We got phosphorus and nitrates that are coming down through the drainage systems. In the case of where high amounts of animal waste is being applied, we can even see some residue from that showing up in the drainage water. But even under what we call prairie conditions, where it's just natural grasslands with tile in it, you're still going to have some of these naturally occurring things coming out of the soil by themselves.
But some of those materials will be removed with this system you're demonstrating?
It is. What we're predominantly looking at here is the nitrates. Most phosphorus is traveling overland on soil particles because of erosions. And that's one thing that the grass buffers do is they trap that soil as it comes off the field and stops it from going into the water courses. Unfortunately, in many cases, 60%, 70% of the excess water on these ag fields are going under the buffers through drainage outlet pipes, and those have nitrates in them.
And this system you're demonstrating will really cut that down, right?
So far, what we've seen on the initial project that's going over in Iowa, the water that they were treating, they actually treated 60% of the water coming out of this one particular pipe, and they were getting as high as a 90% removal rating on the nitrates.
Was the topography there similar to what's here?
Yes, it is. All of these systems have to go in on very similar type of topography, where it's fairly flat. We can't have hills and stuff because we can't get enough lateral movement with our lines there.
Is it possible in the future to have this sort of a system adapted to more hilly ground?
It's very possible. We've thought that it might even work along waterways, you know, coming down off of some of the slopes. But there again, it's a case of, you know, too much slope doesn't work, and, you know, the flatter the better.
Water gets moving too fast, is that it?
Correct, and then you also have all your water end up at the bottom of your pipe. And what we're really showing here is what we call a suite of practices. There's different options that farmers will have to do reductions in nutrient transport of water coming out of fields. This is just one of them. Another one that we've done some work with is bioreactors. Actually, Dr. Cook here at the University of Illinois is one of the premier people doing the bioreactors. Those can work in these systems. Drainage water management is another one. Constructed wetlands is a big deal over in Iowa. So the farmers in the future will actually have a whole variety of things to work with to make a difference.
And that was Leonard Binstock of Agricultural Drainage Management Coalition of Hot Springs, Arkansas. In other news this morning, in response to recent extreme temperature and drought that has impacted forage acres, the United States Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency authorized emergency grazing use of Conservation Reserve Program acres in 10 Illinois counties. This was effective as of yesterday. Included in those counties are Greene, Menard, and Pike. According to Sherry Jamanko, State Executive Director of the Illinois FSA, this authorization permits emergency grazing only in these counties. No haying of CRP acres is allowed at this time. Additionally, there will be a 10% CRP payment reduction for grazing CRP acres under these emergency provisions. For more information and on eligibility requirements for USDA disaster assistance, contact your local FSA office or visit www.fsa.usda.gov. In case House leaders stop the 2012 Farm Bill from moving forward, a group of senators is looking for a way to pay for emergency drought relief. Montana's Max Baucus and North Dakota's Kent Conrad have introduced a bill to provide emergency drought assistance. Tim Johnson of South Dakota and John Tester of Montana have signed on as co-sponsors. The action of the full Senate reportedly depends on Conrad and Baucus coming up with a pay for, which they're still working on. The Hill reports there's currently not much optimism among lobbyists and aides that the House Farm Bill will move. If the legislation remains blocked, it's expected a disaster relief companion will be introduced in the House soon. The American Farm Bureau Federation welcomes the emergency actions U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack announced on Monday to provide assistance to the farm and ranch families suffering from the drought. For many farmers and ranchers, Farm Bureau says the USDA's action will result in immediate flexibility in the nation's major conservation programs, helping to provide crucial assistance to hard-hit livestock producers. But the group says there are areas of the nation that may require expedited assistance due to established grazing prohibitions. The Farm Bureau says these prohibitions would prevent grazing until the nutritional value of the grazing plants has totally been diminished by the drought. Nearly 1,200 crop loss claims have flooded into Country Financial's claims department in recent weeks as a result of severe drought conditions in mid-Illinois and beyond. It started in the southeastern part of the state, the center point of the damage, according to Steve Worthington, crop claims field supervisors for Country. Claims for central Illinois corn and soybean fields began surging about a week ago, he also said. The company is encouraging all farmers who think they might have a loss to contact their insurance agent. This summer, sweltering temperatures are heating up the natural gas market. Natural gas prices have surged as the scorching weather has forced utilities to use more of the fuel to generate the electricity needed to keep air conditioners working across the United States. The nation is on pace for its hottest year on record, a tough situation for crops and consumers, but a boon for natural gas producers. Finally, this reminder this morning, if you have questions about the care, feeding, or training of your horses or ponies, you can contact Bianca Massa of New Douglas at massa_bianca@yahoo.com. Later, she will answer your questions on a Saturday farm show. Once again, the address, massa_bianca@yahoo.com. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat now trading at 888 and three quarter. That's up a dime. December wheat trading at 897. That's up 8 3/4. September corn trading at 798. That is up right now, now trading at 797 and three quarter, up 7 3/4. December corn trading at 787 and a half, up 9 1/4. August beans trading at 1663 and a quarter, up 14. September beans trading at 1606 and a half. That is up 11. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau.